Hallelujah, Jesus. For what other place can you go? What other place in this universe is there where you're able to be who I've created you to be? Is there a better place than in my presence? Is there a better place than in the depths of my spirit? For what I desire and long for is that my body would understand that I have not called you to function and operate the way that the world functions and operates, but I've called you to walk in a deeper place with me and in the realms of my spirit, where who I am in you can flow through you. And as you walk in this world, you are not of it, but that which I am inside of you is made manifest to those around. What better place is there for you to come and to receive from me and to know who you are but in my presence? For some would say, I've invited you, Holy Spirit, into this place, but I say, It is I. I have invited you into a place that goes beyond the things that you see, beyond the realms of this natural world, and into a place of my spirit where you can learn of me, receive of me, and walk in me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for that place, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, help us to walk in a spirit. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to be in this house today. Amen. It's so good. You know, listening to Nathan this morning, and I promise you, I'm not just saying this. I didn't make this up. But last night, my wife asked me if I had anything to share this morning, and I told her, you know, I felt like the God had given me something. I was ready to go. And this morning, I got up early. I won't say what time because it's probably not early for you, but it's early for me. I sit down at my desk, and the Lord just gives me these scriptures and just lays this out before me. And you know, I wouldn't say that Nathan preached my message this morning, but it's definitely complement to what God has to say. And it just amazes me to see how the Holy Spirit is moving in this house. It's not one man's gift. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the gifts of the Spirit of God, the gifts that God is manifesting through his people. And it's happening all over the world, and each one of us is a part of it because God has his hand upon this house. Every time I get an opportunity to speak here, I realize that these messages go around the world and that the prayer center is not just here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I feel like I'm talking to my family. This is my home. This is where God placed me. It's not something that I necessarily chose to do. It's where God put me. And I usually take a moment to share a little bit of what God's done for me in this house. And it's not because for any other reason, but I'm just so full of gratitude. It's so full of thankfulness for what God has done here, for what Pastor Dave has done here. Pastor Dave, I shared so many things the last time of coming here as a young man. But the one thing that I really wanted to say is just thank you. Thank you for being faithful to God. Thank you for following the Holy Spirit all of those years and making this available to us. This message that changes people's lives. You know, that's a phrase we use a lot, that changed my life. But no, I'm talking about actually effectual change. Things that weren't there before that are there today because of the message that has been brought forth from this house. Things that were not ever in my life, were never a part of me, or part of me today because I learned how to walk according to the things of the Spirit and not of the flesh. I'm still learning, but I thank God for the message of the prayer center. I thank God for the anointing that's upon this house. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to share this morning. And I believe God's going to say some things that will maybe bring a little more understanding. I feel like when God has me, when I'm able to speak here, I feel more like I'm encouraging and reminding you the things that God has done. Because, you know, if we can really get a hold of the basics, and it becomes more than just a message to us, more than just words, but it becomes a part of our life, then the other things that God has for us, He'll bring us into. But we have to grab a hold of the basics, the basic truth of who we are in Christ Jesus, and understand what God has done for us in order to get the rest of the story. In order to enter into the greater things of God, we've got to get the basics down. And so many times we want something more exciting. We want something more flashy. We want something that's that we believe is going to make a difference. But the truth is what the basics of prayer, fasting, meditation, these things that we've learned, these basic truths, when it becomes a part of our life, then God's able to bring us to a greater place in Him. I thought Nathan did a great job this morning just telling us that, you know, we're not trying to get somewhere. We're understanding better where we are and who God has made us to be and what He's doing in us right now at this moment. And what I want to talk to you about today is the unity that God is calling us to. I've been around the church my entire life. I was born to parents that attended church every Sunday. It was never a question when I was young. I was shocked the first time I heard my child say, "Do we have to go to church this morning?" That's not a question I would have ever asked my parents when I was young, because it was never even a thought. You know, Sunday morning you get up and you go to church. There was not any kind of other option. It didn't matter. Maybe if you were dead, you might not have to go. But there really wasn't much other opportunity on Sunday morning. There really wasn't much other thoughts that were entertained. We went to church Sunday morning. So I grew up in the church. And as I got older, we went to a lot of different churches. You know, my parents had a particular background that there weren't very many of those denominations around. So they believed that if we can find a church that preaches Jesus and we love those people and they love us, that we ought to go to church there. And you know, they didn't really even care that they didn't believe 100% the doctrine or the maybe they didn't agree 100% with everything that they taught about God, everything that they taught in their doctrine, but they knew that these people loved Jesus, that they've been born again, and they understood the basics of the Bible, and we would go to those churches, and we'd fellowship with those people. So I saw a lot of different ideas of what church is like and what it means to walk in unity with other people. And then as an adult, most of the time I was here at this church, but then once I went out and I pastored another church and I had the opportunity to attend some other churches and be a part of what was going on in a small town in Oklahoma, and I saw a lot of people trying to bring unity to the body of Christ. And we had this great idea that if we can ever come together and be one, think of what we could accomplish. Think of what we could do for the kingdom. So we'd have meetings and we'd have all different churches come together and we'd have prayer times and we'd have this minister speak and that minister speak and we have all these wonderful things. But at the end of the day, it was just a bunch of people fellowshipping with one another, which is a great thing. But there was no, if there was any difference in how things happened in that community, I couldn't see it. If there was any difference in the attitude, to be honest with you, even the attitude towards other people, I couldn't see it. And so I start to wonder, what does it mean to walk in unity? So I'm going to talk about a couple of different times when we saw unity in the Bible. And you're going to see it wasn't always a good thing. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." To me, that is a very powerful statement. Here's people, of course, this is the Old Testament. They weren't even born again, but yet they weren't doing anything for God. They said they wanted to do this to make a name for themselves, and yet God sees it and he says, "Look at them, they're one. Nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them." It's amazing. We don't realize what we can accomplish. Here, these people, this God said there's nothing that can be withheld from them. So he says, "Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, I don't think that the reason God did that was not because he didn't want them to be unified. It's not that he didn't want them to be as one, because he said if they could do that, then nothing would be withheld from them. There's nothing that they couldn't accomplish. The problem was, these were men of the flesh. These were men and women that had nothing in them that wanted to do something for God. All of it was self-driven. They were building a name for themselves. And in that state, without the Holy Spirit, still God said, if we don't do something, nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing will be impossible to them. All right, so let's turn over to John chapter 17. I would call that in the book of Genesis, what we witnessed there, I would call that unity of the flesh. And realize that in the flesh, people come together, and we see it today. There are great organizations that come together with a purpose and a cause, and they accomplish amazing things throughout the earth. And for some of these people, it seems as though there's nothing that could stand in their way, because they've got that determination that they're going to do this, they're going to get it done. And the drive, the selfish ambition that is within them, they use that and draw upon that, and they're able to accomplish great things. That is the unity of the flesh. That's not what God has called us to. Unfortunately, within the church, many times the unity that we see happening is something that we ourselves have strived for, and we ourselves in our flown flesh have tried to accomplish, and it looks like, it looks like unity, it looks like oneness, it looks like one spirit, one body, but really it's an idea that's birthed out of our own, or not even our own, but out of our flesh, for what we believe unity should look like because of something that we've determined we want to accomplish. We put the picture on it. We decide what's going to be done. And then we go out to accomplish that. That's not what God has called us to. Let's look at John chapter 17. John 17 verse 20. Here Jesus is praying not only for his disciples, he had prayed for them, but then he also says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you've loved me. Well, this is a different kind of unity. Jesus didn't pray that everybody would get along with one another and that they would accomplish great things together as one. He was praying that we would be one with the Father just as much as Jesus was one with the Father. And he's talking about a vertical unity here between us and God. A unity in the Spirit where we're able to accomplish, where it's no longer our own ability that is accomplishing something. It's not the abilities of our flesh. It's not the talents and the ambition that we have, but it is what God can do and what He's able to do through us as we walk with Him and He walks with us. And we walk as one. Because the truth is, the only way that I'm going to have unity with my brother is if I have unity with the Father. Because my brother's going to do some things that are going to disappoint me. He might do something that's going to annoy me. He may even do something that frustrates me or makes me angry. But if I am at one with the Father and the Father's at one with me and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, I'm able to walk with Him through any diversity, any situation, any problems that arise. I'm able to stand with Him and say, this is my brother, and defend, I don't want to say defend him, but defend the truth of God that He has called us to be one with Him. And not look at all the things that He's doing wrong, but be able to see the real person that God has made Him to be, because I'm one with the Father and I know what it looks like to be one with Him. So when I see you and you're not one with Him, I can look at you as one with the Father and not be distracted by the things you're doing that don't look like God. So we have to be yielded completely to the Spirit of God and allowing ourselves to walk in that place of the Spirit where it's not just our thoughts and our actions and it's not the abilities of our flesh, but it's the ability of the Holy Spirit through us. This morning as we were worshiping God, I saw my daughter get up and run around this building screaming, shouting praises unto the Lord. Some people might get a little uncomfortable when those things happen. But you see, when we have ourselves, it's not because she's my daughter, but I know what she's going through. I know that God is touching her and changing her and doing something inside of her. And she's not afraid to step out and try to walk with Him, whatever it might be. I've never seen her run around a building before. It's not like she's looking for attention. She's never been one to do those kind of things. But see, she's taking the steps to walk in unity with Him. The awesome thing about it is, like Nathan was talking about this morning, we've been told all our lives that we're going to miss it. Well, here's the thing. It's not about whether or not you miss it. It's stepping towards it so that He can make up the difference. Because if you never do anything, you're always going to miss it. But when you step out and follow God and you do what He's putting in your heart to do, and you're working on being in unity with Him, and you're obedient to what you believe He's saying, He can correct you along the way. But if we just sit there and refuse when He's moving on us, then you're always going to miss Him. We have an opportunity to follow Him all the time and to be in unity with Him and let Him have His way in our life. And it's our choice whether we follow it or we don't. We get to choose to be in unity with the Father or to have our own ambitions. We can't look at our accomplishments and say, I must be walking with God because I accomplished this. The people that were building the Tower of Babel were accomplishing something great, but it wasn't because they were walking with God. We have to be open to the calling and the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. So many times people talk about what God has said to them, and I've been careful about it because I've been that way myself in the past, and I try to take the time to explain. When I say God said this to me, I didn't hear a voice somewhere out, a booming voice over me in heaven speaking these words, but there was something on the inside that just said, this is the way you need to go. And because the more we say as ministers, you know, God said this to me, the more people are wondering, how come I'm not hearing that? When the truth is, you are hearing Him. He's on the inside of you, and He's within you, and He's leading you and guiding you and walking with you. I love to use the example when you're walking down Walmart, the aisles in Walmart, and you knock something off of the shelf, and there's something in you that says you need to pick that up. That's the Holy Ghost. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. It's really your conscience, but it's what the Holy Spirit works with in your life. And if you can learn to follow that, then you're going to learn to follow the Holy Spirit, and you're going to learn to be one with Him so that you can be one with your brother and sister. Because He wants us to be one in spirit. Because there's going to be things that people do in the flesh that they shouldn't do. And God forbid that I do something in the flesh that I shouldn't do. But if that were to happen in my life, I would hope that I would have a friend that's close enough to me and that loves me enough that they would walk with me in the spirit while my flesh is being stupid. And be willing to say, hey, brother, you know what? That's the flesh. You don't have to do that. You don't have to walk that way. But see, that's not the kind of unity we want. Too many times in the body of Christ, they want things where we feel good about each other. And we pet each other. When, you know, it's okay. I know you're living with your girlfriend, but you're just working through that. It's okay. You know, we love you. And just walk in unity with people that are living in sin. And we act as though we love them when truthfully, there's no love in that. The love of God will empower you to walk free from sin. And the love of God will give you the grace to be able to speak the truth to your brother in love. Say, listen, you got to be free. You must repent if you're going to live the way God wants you to live. I don't want you to miss heaven. I don't want you to miss all that God has for you. I don't want you to miss heaven here on earth. You know, there's some people that they might make it to heaven, but they've played with sin their whole life back and forth. And maybe on their deathbed, they repent, they make it to heaven, but yet they missed out on heaven here on the earth. They missed out on all that God had for them, the blessings of God, the kingdom of God, the love, the joy, the peace that is available right now. I don't want people to miss that. I don't want you to repent with your last breath. I want you to be praising God with your last breath. I want to be praising God with my last breath. I want to be confident before God, be able to live my life in peace and confidence towards God and man, and be able to say, I know who I am. And because He's in me, there's nothing that's impossible. Hallelujah. When we learn to walk in unity, maybe learn is the wrong word, but when we realize and have an understanding of the unity that we have with the Father, it's probably a better way to say it. Because the truth is, when you were born again, you were made one with Him. He put Himself within you. And so we have a unity that's more real than the unity that you have with any other person on this earth. The unity that I have with my Father in reality. You know, Nathan was talking about that too. A lot of times we have these positional truths that we hold on to. But in reality, my relationship with Jesus Christ is more intimate than my relationship with my wife. Because she doesn't live in me. Okay? I know we bring our loved ones with us wherever we go. They have a place in our heart. All those wonderful things. But the truth is, she doesn't live in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. And wherever I go, He goes. And you know what? You can bring God into places that He doesn't want to go. And if you're not careful, eventually He won't go there anymore. So we have to be careful of where we go and what we do and what we say and what we hear and what we watch. Because we're receiving within us, within us is the Spirit of God. And what we're receiving, we are subjecting Him to the same things that we're subjecting ourselves to. And He won't put up with it. Now, for a season, He'll walk with you through anything. But God can't live in sin. He can't. He doesn't have any fellowship with that. And so we have a responsibility, not just a positional truth that we've been made holy and that we've been forgiven and that we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And those are all wonderful truths that we must believe and rely on. But it can't be a position that I put myself in and then do whatever I want. It's a reality that I get the opportunity to walk in every day. That I can say, I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. And I have the opportunity today to walk with you, to bring you wherever I go. Where would you like to go today, Father? What would you like to do today, Holy Ghost? Now, most of the time, I just have to get up and go to work, and there's not a whole lot of choice. But we still want to say, what do you want, Lord? Even in that, because He has the right in my life to say, I don't want you to go to work today. And you know, my boss, whatever the ramifications are of that, if it's really God saying it, God will take care of it. Not worried about it. Fortunately, He hasn't told me that, and I'm glad. Because there are times when it's going to be difficult to follow what God tells you to do. But that doesn't give us the excuse to walk away from the unity that He's put within us. I can walk away from my wife. I can't walk away from God. I can walk into the other room and not have to listen to her, but you know, God is always right there with you. Now, you may not be listening, but He's still speaking. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't get offended. Now, He might correct you. He might, when I say He doesn't get offended, I just mean that in the way that we get offended with people. You can offend the Spirit of God, but He's not offended with you and who you are. Your actions may be against what He wants, but He still loves you. He still lives in you. He still has unity with you. And He just wants you to come to the understanding of who you really are so that you'll correct those actions and walk according to what's within you and not the flesh that's outside of you. Glory to God. When we walk in unity with God, there's an authority that we have in our life. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 15. You're probably familiar with this, the Ephesians prayer that Paul was praying. Ephesians 1:15, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you'll notice he continues to use the word all over and over again. He's given us authority. He's given us a place in him. And it's not just a positional place, but it's a reality where we are in him and he is in us. And we, as his body, he's placed us above principalities and powers and all of these things. He said all things he's put under his feet. And no matter where you are in the body, the lowest part of the body is the feet, and no matter where we are, we're above all things. We're above principalities and powers, might, dominion, every name that's named, because we are in unity with him. And when we apply that to our life, then we're able to walk in the freedom that God has made for us, has set before us. You know, sometimes in our walk with God, we get tripped up by different things. Addictions and desires and whatever it might be. But if we can come to the understanding that he has actually set us free from that and placed us above it, then even though it's happening in our life in the natural realm, we can understand that we're free from that and not have to walk with the guilt and shame of it, but we can hate it and command it to leave our life, and it has to go because we've been made above that. And see, God is there with us, and he's there to help us in it. It's not that he's looking at us and condemning us and saying, you know, you need to quit smoking. You need to quit drinking coffee. You need to quit whatever it is that he's dealing with you with. If we're not careful, when we realize that it's something that God doesn't want in our life, we begin to condemn ourselves and say how terrible we are because we continue to walk in that. But that isn't why God's showing it to us. It's so that we can see how good he is and how he set us free from it so that we can walk above it. And even though I have a cigarette in my hand, I can say with confidence, I am free because of who God has made me to be. And when that happens and it becomes a reality and understanding in our natural man, I can throw it on the ground and not for the 500th time throw a pack of cigarettes out the window, but I can say with finality that I know who I am and I no longer need this in my life. And walk free from it. But even in the process, along the journey, we're just as free as when we get there. He didn't set you free the day that you gave up smoking, for example, but he sets you free when you were born again. You're free. That freedom was not only made available to you, it was given to you. You're free. Now, you can choose to smoke the cigarette, but you're still free. And when we take the time to focus on the freedom that we have within us, then the sin or the outward problem that we're facing has to melt away. It's got to be, the mountain becomes a plain because we're able to receive the grace of God that's already been set within us. You see, we've taken the time, we've done such the opposite many times in church, not necessarily this church, but, you know, we've tried to make you wear the right clothes and put on, and not, maybe the women don't need to wear makeup or whatever it is we come up with, and you can't smoke and you can't drink and you can't do these things, when the truth is, you cannot do all of that and still not be in unity with God. You can lay all that stuff down and still walk as the biggest sinner on the face of the earth. But when you focus on who God has made you and what you've become in him and the unity that he put inside you, then those other things will fall to the wayside because they aren't who you are. the more credit you give to them, the more you become, or you think that you're becoming, what the problem is. You can't ever become that because God didn't make you that way. He's made you free. But in our minds, we must come to the understanding and the realization of the unity that God has given us with Him. And the awesome thing is when we have that understanding and that realization, yes, He puts us in the place where we're above all of those things. But then also what finally happens is we're able to function as the body that He created us to be. And when I talk about the body this morning, I'm talking about this body. I'm talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Family Prayer Center. Because sometimes we try to walk in unity with the church down the street, and there's certain things that you just never are going to walk in unity with certain people, and that's okay. We have to learn to walk in unity according to the calling and the purpose that God has given us as a body. Walk in unity according to where God has placed you. And this is where God's placed me. So I'm trying to come to the understanding that I'm one with you so that we can stand as one. And one body in Christ, in the spirit, not in the flesh. As I was praying about this one time, I had kind of a little vision or picture. And I watch quite a few movies. Sorry, Nathan. Told us not to do that this morning. But anyway, we have kind of a movie night, usually at least once a week at my house with my kids. And we watch a lot of kid movies. Not endorsing it, not asking you to go out and watch it. I'm just sharing these things because I want to share a little bit of the picture that God had given me as I was praying about this unity that He's called us to. I saw a huge being, person, a man, coming together and being created by a whole bunch of smaller people, regular-sized people were creating this big being. Well, in this movie, Ralph breaks the internet. In one part of it, in this cartoon, Ralph is duplicated many, many, many times. And he comes together and he's like this big monster that's created out of all these Ralphs. And that's kind of what I saw, is that in the natural, we try to come together and we try to create this one body. We say we're doing it for God, but because we're doing it in our own strength, it's like we're creating this big monster that really doesn't ever accomplish anything because it doesn't have the power that God has ordained it to have. And then I saw, I'm not going to tell you all the names of these movies, but I saw another movie where there's a man that there's this group of people that come from outer space, and there's this guy, they walk around in a earth suit, you could say. It looks like a normal person, but it's really not. There's a whole bunch of little people inside of this spaceship that looks like a person. And the Lord was showing me that there's times that we try to make something that looks like unity, and we all get on board with it, but yet still it isn't what God has designed for us. It's something that man has come. It looks perfect on the outside. It looks like just one body. You couldn't tell that there's any other body that's a part of that. It's just one person there. And in the natural, there are people who are very skilled at bringing people together, and they can make it look as though it's being done as one. But when God isn't in it, when I say what I mean by that, it might be a good thing, might even be a biblical thing, but if it's not God ordained and God inspired, it lacks the power that the Holy Spirit puts on it. But you see, when we come together as one, then God is able to raise up. And I saw this picture of just a warrior who could jump over walls, could take down any obstacle. And this is what God is creating in this place. Is He's bringing us to where, as we come to the understanding of the oneness that we have with the Father, then God is able to bring us together as one in the Spirit, and we're able to walk together and accomplish what God has for this body to accomplish in a way that is beyond anything that any man could ever do. It would be impossible for someone to say, look what I did, because it'd just be so ridiculous. They could see that it was done by God. They could see that it was done by the unity and the power that God had placed upon us, not by any one person or any one thing. And so I believe that as we come to that place where we're in unity with the Spirit and we find our place of authority and we walk in that authority and in the freedom that He's given us, that we will finally be able to stand as His body and not as separate members, but as jointly fit together as the body of Christ, being placed into that place that He's given us. And part of the realization for me has been, and I've mentioned this before, but the reason I mention it again is because it has really brought a freedom to my life. And that's the realization that wherever we are on the journey, we're fulfilling the call that God has given us. And it took me a long time to really have an understanding of that. I've heard it. I say that I believed it. But there was still something in me still striving and wanting and longing for the result. Longing for the destination. When I was very young, I say very young now because I'm older. Now I'm young and then I was very young. But when I was younger, the Lord, I remember when He first called me to preach. And when He said, preach, that's what I'm called to do. That's what I need to be doing. And if I wasn't preaching, then I felt like I wasn't doing what God called me to do. I would hear people say the journey is just as important as the destination. I would hear the people say, you know, well, your training, that your time will come, all those things. But the truth is, your time is now. It's not that your time will come. Right now is your time. I was waiting for a day when I could be in full-time ministry. Didn't realize that I'm in full-time ministry right now, if that's what you're called to do. Because what He has given you is already in you. What He's, the calling, the hope of your call is within you. And when we don't recognize it, we don't understand it, then that hope is deferred. And we're hoping that someday I'll be able to walk in what God called me to walk in, when actually right now what you're doing is you're walking in what God called you to be, what God called you to do. I'm telling you, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I'd be working a full-time job and I'd say, I'm happy with what I have. It's not that I was disappointed in the work, but I'm like, but this isn't what I'm called to do. And so I'm constantly looking for something else. I'm constantly trying to find what it is that God called me to, and not realizing that right there at that moment, I'm wasting my time because I should be doing what He called me to right then, which is exactly what I'm doing. My job. I'm talking to the people around me. I'm sharing the light. I'm supposed to be a light wherever I am, and I'm too distracted with the destination that I'm not shining along the path of the journey. And I believe that happens many times with us. We get, our hope is deferred because we're not where we think we should be. We're not where we believe God has called us to be. But God is saying, right where you are, if you will allow me to, I will shine through you. I will give you favor. I will put myself up within you, and you will see that right where you are, you're fulfilling the call that I've given you. And the journey is just as much a part of that call as the destination. I heard people say it's just as important, but not only is it just as important, it's just as much a part of the call. I'm going to Africa this week. I'll be in Kenya, Africa, Friday morning, I think. I don't know. I think it'll be morning here. I'm not sure. I'll be in Kenya on Friday. I know God's called me to Africa, but when we take a trip, when we go somewhere, even if we're going on vacation, you're on vacation the moment you get in the car, not when you get to Florida. You know, you're on vacation all the whole time. And like for me, I'm taking time off of work. Well, my time doesn't start on Friday. When I get there, that'd be ridiculous. You know, it starts the moment that I don't show up to work and I get my bags and I go to the airport. But that's the journey. It's the same thing. It starts right then. It's not when I get there. And for each one of us, the call starts the moment we're born again. And every moment we're walking in the calling of God. As long as we allow Him to be at one with us, as long as we are yielded and we follow what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in us. You can make a decision not to do that. But even when we do, he can, when He corrects us and we repent, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. You don't have to go back and try to find the place where you messed up. He picks you up right where you are and He says, all right, you're back in the call. Let's go. And you may have to fix a few things, or some things might have to be fixed. But even in fixing them, you're walking out the call that God has on your life. It doesn't have to be to a pulpit ministry. You know, the majority of the body of Christ isn't called to the fivefold ministry. It would be ridiculous if we were all apostles, prophets, teachers, and preachers. We wouldn't need anybody else. The majority of the body is called to be out there in the world and to be a light everywhere that we go. I get the opportunity. I didn't used to look at it this way, but I get the opportunity to do both. Right now, I get the opportunity to be a light in the world around me with sinners and atheists and all kinds of different people that say all kinds of things that you shouldn't say. And yet, I also get to stand up here and in other places and preach to the body. Praise God. It used to be that I would hate the fact. I despised working a secular job because somehow I looked at that as less than what God had called me to. And if we're not careful when we're on the journey to where God has taken us, we can despise what He's actually doing in our life. And He's wanting to set us free and we're despising it and pushing it aside. But I can say with all assurity today, I know that I'm where God wants me to be. And it doesn't matter if I'm standing here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if I'm in Kenya, Africa, if I'm up on a telephone pole doing the work that God's put before me, I'm fulfilling the call of God in my life. And I'm going to let my light shine wherever I'm at. I don't have to be the light. I just have to let the light shine. Because His light is in me. See, you get it? You don't have to be the light. It's not your job to produce the power. It's our opportunity to allow the power to flow through us. The first time that I was used by God, it was, well, in my opinion, used by God in the things of the of ministry and in the laying on of hands and that type of thing. It was at a meeting with Barbara Makowski. Barbara used to be the outreach pastor here, and she would have meetings at her house with the outreach people, and she's going on to be with the Lord now. But the first time I remember being, we had a meeting outside, and there was another gentleman who was playing the guitar, and we were worshiping God. We had our eyes closed. I had my eyes closed, my hands lifted up, and I was kind of wandering around. I didn't realize that I was wandering around. But I was kind of wandering around, and when I opened my eyes, there's somebody standing right in front of me, and the next thing I know, I laid my hands on him. And by the time I kind of came to myself, I look back, there's four or five people laying on the floor, and I'm prophesying over this other person. And I thought, what happened? You know, and then I began to think, well, this is it. God, now God's called me. Now the anointing of God is on my life. Now doors are going to open, and now I'm in full-time ministry. Praise God. But, you know, it didn't happen that way. But because I was looking for some, I was still, even when God was using me, even when He was blessing me and anointing me to do something, even in that I was looking for something else. I was still not fulfilled, not content with who God had made me and what He had put in me. I still thought I needed something else because surely I wasn't good enough. And that's why I'm telling you this understanding, this whatever you might want to call it, a revelation of who He is in me is so freeing and so altering to my life. It's hard to explain. I can hardly believe that I get to do what I get to do. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you every day is just wonderful at my job, but and there's a lot of frustrations in the natural, but there's been a change, an adjustment on the inside of me that if that's what I did for the rest of my life, I would still have contentment and peace with God and knowing I'm fulfilling His call. Because it's no longer me that's trying to get it done. I'm no longer striving to try to get somewhere and do something. This trip to Africa, even when I came back here to the prayer center, because for a time I was pastoring a church, and then I was in Florida for a while, and then I came back here to the prayer center, and I believed, even every one of those steps, I hate to say it, where there was like this anticipation that this is going to be it. You know, when I make this move, then from there I'm going to Africa. When I make that move, from there I'm going to Africa. From there, you know, I always had this idea that this was going to be the launching of our ministry to what God has called us to do. And I tried over and over again to get it accomplished, and it just never happened as far as a full-time work. When I came back here to Tulsa, I had an idea in my mind. I knew some of the things that the Lord had said to me. I'm not going to go into the details of them, but He had instructed me to quit my job and to begin to share the vision for Africa, and I had ideas and ways in which I would do that, and I was excited about it. And again, I'm not going to say the specific things, but I'll just tell you this. I was here after I came back to Tulsa. I was praying, and the Holy Spirit arrested me and basically said, would you be willing to put your ideas on hold and just be here in this house for a season? And I was like, I didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm like, God, are you firing me? Or, you know, what's happening? And so I struggled with it for some time, but I thought, okay, I'll do that, you know. And I struggled with it, and I was here for a while and ministering some here, and I was living with my in-laws, and there was just a lot of distractions going on at that time. And I finally said, you know what, we need to go someplace where our children can have a place to go. Now, I'm telling you these things from my heart. I didn't really plan to go here this morning, but just hear my heart today. This is my story. This is what God has done in me, and I'm hoping that this will bring some hope and some help to somebody this morning. I was struggling with that, so we went to another place for a season, and but the whole time I never really left the prayer center. The prayer center I'll never be able to leave the prayer center. But we were there for about a year, and I remember driving in my car, and I said these words out loud. I didn't even know that I had done it, but I cried, and I said, God, forgive me for not being in the place that you told me to be. And I just broke down, and God ministered to me, and I came back, and we came back to the prayer center with a greater peace and a greater understanding that this is where God has us to be. This is where He's got us right now. And so when I prepared for this trip to go to Africa, I was a little conflicted, because I'm like, well, am I doing this as a plan of my own, trying to get back over there, or, you know, is this God? And the Lord really ministered to me. He said, to be in the place that God has put you in the body, you have to do what God has called you to do. So He never took away from me the call to Africa because He asked me to be here in this body. He never took away the things that He's called me to do. And so in each one of us, because you're fitted and joined into this body, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a greater calling that He has for you to do and that He wants you to pursue. And He wants you to pursue Him in it, and He wants to bring you into that. Where we get distracted is when we try to do it on our own, and we try to accomplish those things in our own strength, and then we end up failing and being disappointed and hope deferred and all those things. But when our hope is in Him and that He's bringing us there, we can sit here with great assurity that we're accomplishing the call of God, and then God is the one who gets to choose when we go out and when we do the things that He's called us to. So on this trip, I knew the way God deals with me a lot of times is just kind of be an idea or an inkling that I think I need to do this year. And then I believe God speaks to us in that way to get our attention so that we'll seek him. And so I began to seek him and say, Lord, how do you want to do this? And what are we supposed to do? And so we began making plans. And then, of course, it takes money to go to Africa. And there's been many times when I failed because I didn't have the money. And so I'm like, Lord, how do you want to do that? Because I trust you. I know that you'll provide. And I just want you to do how you want to do it. And I'm sharing this today just because I want you to understand some of the ways that God does things, or just an example of how he did it through me. I don't usually tell people, well, God told me to do this, because I just do it and let him bring it to pass. But I had a dream. This was really unusual. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was putting pictures on Facebook of trips that I had been to Africa in the past. And I knew that's what he told me to do. And I thought, I don't know how that's going to help me get to Africa, but I'll do that. So I started doing that, and some very unusual things started happening. People all around me, and I would even put there, you know, this is from 2012, this is from 2009, this is from this time and that time. They would say, "Are you? Were you in Africa? Are you in? I thought you were in Africa." And this would happen from people all around me. But what happened is there was an excitement and an interest in why was I ever in Africa. A lot of because I have people that I know on Facebook, they aren't even born again. I had a man give towards this trip that he's a professing atheist, but he gave to this trip. He says, go do your thing, brother. And he shared it with another friend that I've never met before who gave towards this trip. So I did is I was asking the Lord, how do you want to raise these funds? And I saw that Facebook had a fundraising app. And I thought, I don't really want to do that because they get so much of the money and I don't know if it's the right thing to do. And I had this conflicting things. And sometimes I believe we can be distracted by what we've heard from other people and from other situations and other things. And that's why I'm saying that we have to get the basics of the truth of God's word and who we are and who he is in us as a great understanding inside of us, because that is going to be what guides us, not the examples of other men. So I said, okay, I'll do this. I asked the Lord what he wanted me to do, and he basically said this. He says, you decide how you'd want to do it, and I'll tell you if we can do it that way or not. I said, okay. So I was like, Lord, I would like to, and I listed a few different things that I'd like to do. And he says, that's fine. So I put the fundraiser out there on Facebook, and really my thoughts were, I'm doing this to reach as many people as possible who might want to be a part of what God is doing out there. It's not even really, and I know people say this a lot, but it's not even about the money. It's about being a part of what God is doing and a part of what is happening that's bigger than you. There's a lot of people who can never go, but they get to go because they got to be a part of that. They got to give. And as silly as it seemed to me, those pictures were ministering to people. I'd have people that I talked to on a regular basis at work asking me questions about Africa and about things that happened there. And then, like I said, my friend who doesn't even know the Lord and he's not necessarily a professing atheist. He just says he doesn't really believe in God. There's two other men that I talk to regularly that are absolutely professing atheists. And all of these people are asking me questions and wanting to know what it is what would make me want to go to a place like that. And I've had that opportunity to let the love of God and the light of Jesus Christ shine forth and say, well, you know, this is something that God put in me. I mean, really, in and of myself, it is a beautiful place. It's a fun place to go. But, I mean, it's a difficult thing to live in a country like that. It's a difficult thing to travel around a country like that. But yet, because of the call and the grace and the gifting of God within me, there's no place I would rather be. I love it. Absolutely love it. When I'm there, I'm like, this is what I'm born to do. I have learned and am learning that wherever I am, it's what I'm born to do, to let the love of God and the light of Jesus Christ shine forth in my life, no matter where I'm at. If I'm in your living room, maybe someday I'll show up at your house to hook up your internet. or your TV. I won't tell Nathan if you're hooking TV up at your house. So, and maybe I'll be doing that. You don't know. And even in those little things, being willing to change the filter in the furnace for a woman that's 90 years old and can't do it herself, you know, just the little mundane things that we do in life, we're allowing the light of God to shine forth through us. And it's just as important and just as much a part of the call as standing up here preaching the Word of God. Because we have the opportunity to live that Word, to be a living epistle to those around us. So I'm going to close with this this morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in the 12th verse. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually." So I wanted to read the whole passage because I want to keep it in context. And I love how Paul likens the body of Christ, the church, to a human body, to a person, because it's such a great analogy, because we know that Jesus Christ is the head. So, I mean, if I'm the toenail on the pinky toe, I'm still connected to the head. And there's a communication that goes on within the body that is unspoken and is beyond something that I can tell you. I'm walking around up here. I move my hands. My brain, my head is telling my fingers what to do. Yet it's not speaking. My fingers don't have ears to hear it. But there's a greater communication that goes on than what could ever be found in speaking and hearing. And I believe that there's a greater communication that goes on between Christ as the head and we as the members than what we could ever understand or even sometimes explain with our natural understanding and our natural speaking. Because in the realm of the Spirit, if we can learn to walk there, He puts us in the place that we need to be. And when something needs to happen, that member of the body is able to move because he's heard the communication from the head. When I gave that example, the first time that I really remember anyway, operating in the realms of the Spirit, there wasn't a voice in my head saying, "Walk over here and put your hands on this person, say these words." It was just something that came forth from me because I was connected to the head and the head was making decisions. I make the decisions when my hands move. If they move by themselves, I'd be in trouble. There are people that have that problem, and we call them disabled, or we see that they have a deformity. In the body of Christ, if we're not connected properly to the head, we have some deformities that take place. The hand starts disagreeing with the foot, and then we can't get to where God's called us to be. We can't stand. There's no warrior that goes to war with a cast on his foot. They don't typically use disabled people to stand in the front line of the military because it just wouldn't be very wise. They don't sit there in a wheelchair and say, good luck. You know, they don't put those people out there. They have a special place for them. They try to help them and get them healed and get them well. But it's the ones who are able to fight and have conditioned themselves and prepared themselves for battle that are able to stand at the front lines. And God has called this body to be at the front line. He's called us to receive an outpouring and a revival that a religious city has never seen before. And we have to come to the realization that wherever we're at in the process of that, we're in revival. We're in revival because God said it. Not because we decided to do it, but we've come into agreement with it. And if we can come into agreement and unity in the Spirit, it's not going to matter what we see in the natural. We realize we're in revival. And like Nathan said, if I'm in revival, and revival means that the blind see, then I ought to be able to lay my hands on a blind person and not walk past them because I know that I'm in revival. And they're going to see. But we have to come to that understanding. I don't want to give excuse to it and say we're still working on it. I want to say there's a greater understanding we have to arrive at so that we can walk in the fullness of this. Hallelujah. But along the way, as we're on this path and as we're on the journey to a destination that we don't know yet, let's not forget the basics that God has given us. Let's not forget to spend that time praying in the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak the perfect will and plan of God over our life so that we can walk in unity with Him. Because see, when I choose to pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through me. There's not much more unity than you can get than to allow the Holy Spirit to give utterance to you and you speak it out. So along this path, let's stay steadfast and walk in the freedoms that He's given us. Now, don't be discouraged by the things of the natural, but realize that we are spirit beings and that there is a place for us to walk where we can be in the Spirit and we can be in unity, and that wherever we are, we allow the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ, to shine forth. And don't try to be the light, but let the light shine from us. Amen. Y'all encouraged this morning? Amen. So I will say this, as I mentioned earlier, this week, my son Solomon, who's right back there, is going to be coming with me to Kenya and Uganda, Africa. We'll be leaving Thursday morning, and we'll be spending 2 weeks in Kenya and Uganda. So we ask for your prayers. We thank you so much for the support that has come. And I want to say this, when I was saying the different things that we did, I was amazed. We've exceeded the budget that we had set for this trip. So God has been more than faithful, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for everyone who's been a part, and whether you're able to do it financially or not, we know that you're supporting us. Yes, Hope. Okay, come on up. And this is my daughter, Hope. She has something she wants to share with you real quick before we close.
I think this is probably just the Lord trying to, like, spread hope to you guys. I'm not really one to stand up in front of people. Like, I'm kind of shaking right now. But I want to start off with in July, we did this thing, like the one word that can change your life. And my word, I felt the Lord was telling me is obey, because like I've noticed, like with this word, I don't have a problem trusting God. Like if something's wrong, I will pray and like trust Him. Like we went to a water park, and my brother, like I went down a slide because I wanted to. We couldn't find my brother. He was with some guy. Like something about him didn't sit right with my spirit, so I was really worried because like I didn't know where my little brother was. So I was praying for him because I was like, "Where's Jonathan?" And then I guess it was probably when my dad found him, I just felt this peace, and I'm just like, thank you, Lord. Because, like, I knew I could trust on Him to find my little brother, but, I'm sorry. Anytime, like, the Lord tells me to do something, I'm always come up with these excuses, like, I can't, God, I can't. Whatever the reason is, I can't, like, running around, because, like, I don't like attention. Most of the time, I kind of like blending in and, like, being with the crowd, and so, I'm like, I can't, God, everyone will see me, but it's like, He reminded me that the word I chose was to obey Him, and if I can't obey Him when He tells me to do something so simple as run around the church, how can He trust me to obey Him when He tells me to do something bigger? And so, I don't know what else to say.
That's okay.
Just That's kind good. Of, like, encourage you that to obey the Lord when you feel Him telling you to do something, because He has a plan for you, and to just trust in Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a good word. Obey Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. When Teresa was pregnant with Hope, we had two sons together. She has another son from a previous marriage, but we had two boys, and the worship leader at that time in this church was praying for people, and he got to Teresa and he stopped and said he had heard something from the Lord, and he wasn't sure if he could say it. So he asked one of the leaders, and anyway, he said, you're wanting to have another child. And I didn't know that. I was like, really? She does. But he said, you're concerned. And he said, but this will be the desire of your heart, and she will prophesy. And so that was before she was even pregnant with Hope, and the Lord was speaking over her. And we're seeing, I say that to say this, as I said when I started, this body has had such an influence on my life and on my family. Most of my children, this is the first place they came when they were born. Solomon was dedicated here, and Pastor Dave prophesied over him that he would preach with fire. So we're going to take him to Africa and see the fire of God. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this service today. Thank you for the words of encouragement, Father God. We thank you that we are one with you. Lord, the unity of the Spirit that you have baptized us, that you've come to live within us, and Father, that we might walk as one, as you, and as Jesus has prayed, that you and Him are one, that we also would be one with you, Lord. And I pray this week as we go forth from this place that your Spirit would be upon us, that we would be reminded of who we are and who you are within us. We thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen.